We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I think that in this city, I just got done telling the team this year. In this city, it feels like every year the media thinks that we're really good, we end up being and every year the media thinks we're going to be we end up being really good. So I prefer not to listen to what everybody thinks we look like on paper. And the only way we're going to be any good this season, we come out here and we work, and everybody comes out of the mentality to get better, each and every one of us.
Ah, that is Eagles captain, All-Pro center, future Hall of Famer, Jason Kelce right there. He knows this city as well as any athlete in this town. I love the fact that our two longest tenured Eagles have seen both sides of the coin of being an athlete in this town and being, you know, almost, you know, overly criticized and justifiably in some cases for both players, but also persevering through that and becoming arguably two of the biggest sports figures in this town of the last decade. So and that's in Brandon Graham and Jason Kelce. And anytime Jason speaks, I think he grabs the attention of all of us as sports fans, let alone Eagles fans in this town. And to hear him, you know, say that he has the correct feel for sort of the expectations of how they get placed when they're low versus when they're high and how the team responds to it. He has a feel for that, and he was here for the Dream Team.
I was just about to say.
So he was here for that.
He's lived through
that. That was his rookie year.
It was his rookie year, yeah. And he's right. I mean, his analysis of that is correct. Like,
it's almost spot on.
It's completely spot on. And
it's
I think
he's listening to the shows this week.
Yeah. And I think he means probably some national media, too. Like, when the Eagles are – when people are high on the Eagles, they very rarely live up to those expectations. So I think, to your point, it's good for the Eagles to have – an athlete or, you know, a teammate for these guys that have been through it, that can go up in front of the team and say, look, I've read the, you know, the headlines. Yep. I know what it's like when we're viewed as a favorite to win the division. And it doesn't always work out that way. So the Eagles are very aware of the messaging of making sure the players know, especially the young players, mm-hmm. that, you know, you got to win week one, then week two, and you got to get to the playoffs. You're not just going to be handed the division. You're not going to be handed a playoff spot. Like, they have to go out and earn that. And you hear Sirianni and the older players, and Jalen actually, talk about that quite a bit.
Well, that's one good thing that we should all feel when it comes to who's our quarterback, is that he seems to be steady as you go. He doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. In his two-plus years here now, other than him showing his excitement out there on the field when he makes a player score the touchdown or one of his teammates does, he is pretty much even keeled. The only time I can remember him showing any type of real live emotion was after that Washington game. I think it was last year in Washington. Mm-hmm. And he was in – they had him breaking down the team after the game, after the big win.
Yep.
And I remember coming away thinking, okay, he is human. There is a pulse in there somewhere. And he isn't so – measured and calculated in what he says and giving us a bunch of cliches. He's going to do that. But I like to see the rawness of a player because that shows me how authentic he is. And this thing actually does matter. We're still kids at heart, and we should get excited when we do things and react like kids do when you do something well and get excited. It shouldn't always be a measured take,
right.
And I'm going to keep my head down, and I'm just working and grinding it out and this and that and the other, and nothing's ever good enough. That's okay at times, but that's not real to me. And I know that's not a real person. That's somebody who's trying not to either get tricked into saying something or get distracted from it. But when you win, or even when there's a tough loss, I want to see a little emotion. I want to see a little emotion. I don't want to hear we got to flush it and move on to the next game.
Yes, yeah. Which
I don't. I don't necessarily always want to hear that. I want to hear this wasn't good enough today, and damn it, we need to be better. That's the one thing that I will agree rubbed me the wrong way about Carson. It was like the same thing over and over every post game, whether you win or lose. And I'm like, dude, that's not real.
Yeah, saying he always has to work on
it. Yeah, that's not real.
What's interesting about Jalen is he clearly is connected with the city in a major way, right? You hear that with the callers, the fans we talk to here at Chickies and Pete's. Like, people really like Jalen. But you look at some of the other athletes that people really like Brandon Graham, and he's been here way longer, so it's not a complete fair comparison. But he does, like, you see so much of his personality the field, right?
He's all personality.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Jason Kelce, you know, he does so much stuff, right? Yep. Jalen really doesn't put himself out there in that way. Like, I've covered Jalen for 2 years now. He's been in the city, or I'm sorry, I guess, you know, 3 years, going into his third year. Do people know a lot about Jalen off the field? Like, I think that people relate to him and connect to him because of his work ethic, and he, you know, kind of has that blue-collar thing that people like to say about the city. But ultimately, he really doesn't show, to your point, like that human side of him very often.
Yeah, I think he's guarded. And in this town, we can make you feel that way.
I think Alabama and Oklahoma probably do that to you a little bit, too.
Yeah, I agree with that. And he likes to refer to his time in Alabama. He obviously held on to a lot of those jewels that Nick Saban would give him,
right?
About rat poison and all that type of stuff. He holds that near and dear to his heart. But again, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's his personality. But when it comes to the game stuff and out there on the field, every once in a while I do want to see that raw emotion. And he gave us a little bit of that from time to time last year. And you know what? Listen, maybe he'll get more comfortable as his years go, that he will show a little bit of more of that. And we're down here at Chickies and Pete's. In case you don't know, it is Football Friday, and this is where we are. Today's broadcast is brought to you by Chickies and Pete's. Football season is almost here. Well, just about. That means the return of the Brandon Graham Show and the Players Lounge. Myself, Elliot Shore Parks.
Yes, sir.
Yes, the two co-hosts of the Players Lounge. Every Monday right here live from Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Now, we know Brandon Graham will be here because it's the Brandon Graham Show. He has to be here.
Mm-hmm.
We're not sure who will be a part of the Players Lounge. When we get that information, as we get closer to the season, we'll certainly let you know who it's going to be.
Yeah, it felt like football walking in here. You know, it's my first time I've been in Chickies to do a show, I should say, since our last Players Lounge. So, yeah, Football Friday, football's back, man.
There we go. There we go. Let's get to Dave and Malton. Elliot, here's another person that has a question for you.
Right.
Dave, welcome to the Marks and Reese Show.
Well, first-time caller, and I'll tell you what, I'm last of the baby boomers. 1964.
Ooh, right. Boy.
Like, you have a great radio voice.
Oh, thank you, brother.
All right. And there's an old phrase, practice makes perfect.
Yep.
And okay. Elliot, have you played competition sports before?
No.
I have, yeah.
Okay. I'm an old-time wrestler, and we practice all the time.
Yeah.
And is this based off yesterday's show?
Yeah, I'm curious what this is, yeah.
No, it's not based off yesterday's show.
Well, we did a whole show about practicing and not practicing yesterday.
I guess it is kind of. Like, practice, I mean, especially with the offense. Like, my son played, you know, Pop Warner. The offense had to practice every play, just repetition after repetition, and it makes them better.
Yeah, and the Eagles do that too, though. The Eagles practice the plays in the playbook a lot of times. The Eagles practice. They're down to NovaCare 8-9 hours a day during training camp. They practice on Wednesday. They practice today. Like, the Eagles practice. I don't get why people talk as if they're not practicing.
Okay, so, but wait. Then, that's like, a 58-minute practice, though.
Exactly.
So, let me ask you this, though. Do you care more about the length of the practice or what they do during the practice?
Repetition.
Okay, well, they got reps in on Wednesday. They got the same reps in on Wednesday that they did last year in a practice that was an hour and a half. Like, they are getting the reps in.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. Well, if you're
don't bite the guy's head off.
No,
man.
I'm not. Sorry, Dave. This is built up from yesterday, too.
Listen, I have one feeling. You can't hurt it.
I respect that. I like
that.
He's a former wrestler.
I got one more thing.
Yep.
Jack, Are you there, Jack?
Hello.
He's there.
Without the baby boomers, you're not on the earth.
How about that?
Mm. Well, what? Without the boomers, you're not on earth either.
No, you wouldn't be on the earth without us. You understand that?
That's usually how evolution works. Yeah, I got you.
I like it. Appreciate
it. Man, Jack got people going with that one yesterday.
Yeah. I think he forgot, or maybe he did not forget who's listening to our show.
Yeah, the key demographic.
He's poking at those people as he typically is.
Well, it's just like, you know, why can they rip on millennials, but they can't take it back? Like, that's
because we know more. We've been here. They've been here longer.
No, you've seen more things. I get it. But I don't know if you know more. Also, you're not part of We. You're Gen X.
Oh, I'm not? Oh.
Yeah, we decided you were too young.
I got respect for the baby boomers, though, man.
So do I, in some instances. But as we learned yesterday, they can't handle anything. You know, a little bit of criticism turns into Meltdown City.
Yeah, no, it was for the last hour, people were not happy with you, Jack.
We're not happy.
Good thing you were gone, though.
It was funny to listen. It was funny to listen to driving.
You accomplished your goal.
On the way to the – yeah, how did it go? How did the viewing party go, man?
Oh, it was fun. Yeah, like a good amount of High Hopes people came out, some WIP people. Phil's won, which is always nice. They made it a little too tight there at the end. But yeah.
You guys were cruising along for the longest
night. The Miller Lights were flowing. Everything was great. And then Jerry Somelia came in and ruined everything.
Stay till the end? Watch the whole thing?
Had you? Yes. Yep.
Well, how did the crowd turn as Familia was giving up these runs?
Well, to be honest, we kind of were mostly checked out, and then we turned around, and it was like, okay, it's 8-4, no big deal. Okay, it's 8-7, and then it was like, they were just like, get him out. A lot of get him out, a lot of furiousness, but yeah, it was good.
How did you handle that? You don't seem like someone that would do well as the Phillies are faltering and people are in your face talking
to
you about
it.
Good question.
Here's the thing. Like Seltzer was still talking to people. I was locked in on the TV. Like
you were just sitting there at the bar by yourself, just
saying they bet not blow this game.
I was standing. I was standing. I couldn't be sitting down. So it was all good though.
Nice.
Never doubted him.
All right. Never doubted that. Now we can finally get to this Kyler Murray story.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah,
right on time.
That Arizona would backpedal with this situation with Kyler Murray. You put a clause in the man's contract that says he has to study for 4 hours a week, at least 4 hours a week, with no television, no video games on in the background, no music, no anything, like he's a damn 10-year-old.
The homework clause.
Yeah, the homework clause. And then Kyler Murray comes out there and has to defend himself yesterday. Hey, Kyler, you and your representative didn't realize that clause was in there before you signed that contract. You agreed to this. You and your agent, you agreed to this contract with this clause in there. And it's an uncommon clause in a contract. So it's not as if you and your representatives, or at least your representatives, didn't know that clause was in the contract. So your team put you on Front Street. You get upset and want to challenge everybody else about questioning your work ethic. Well, then challenge your organization. They questioned your work ethic. That's why they put the clause in the contract, buddy. They did that. They did that. And then Arizona, you know, because Kyler is turning into baby mode again, and they've already given him $190 million.
The impromptu press conference.
Yeah, whatever it was. Yeah, he had his own press conference. Yeah. They were like, hold on, we better get a hold of this thing before he goes bleep you know what. And now they take it out the contract. So either they got what they wanted, which was for him to be humiliated and have a little public pressure on him to have to study and be a better quarterback, or they just caved to a quarterback that they basically didn't want to pay and made themselves look bad by removing that clause out of the contract. Why would you put that in the contract?
Well, and the biggest joke was their statement they put out yesterday after they removed the clause, where it's like, this didn't have the intended effect we want.
Oh, yeah.
How did you think this was going to be perceived? Like,
yeah,
first of all, you mentioned how it's not in many contracts. I would say, in terms of like big time quarterbacks, this is probably the first time it's ever been in there, which is why it's such a unique thing.
Yes.
And again, like, maybe they wanted it to come out just to like publicly shame him a little.
I still believe that was part of it.
But to your point, his agent during this, it was probably one of the most negotiated parts of the deal because it is so unique.
Yes.
I'm sure Kyler was not thrilled that this
was
going
on. And
that
wasn't an accident. They put that clause in there for a reason.
It didn't just slip in and they didn't read, right? So, but at the end of the day, like, it just shows a bad relationship and a bad feeling the team has about Kyler. You don't give somebody that money if you have to tell them do homework, but make sure the video games aren't on while you do it. Like, that's not a franchise quarterback. So I think this is a bad sign. I think it's getting the franchise deal off to a bad start. And this is going to end up being a problem for Arizona.
Yeah. And listen, I was one of those guys that was on board with wanting to trade for Kyler earlier in the offseason. I think he's very talented, but he's clearly not the student of the game that Arizona wants him to be. He's out there doing more freelancing than he is actually running the offense. And they feel like there are some things he needs to improve upon from an intangible standpoint. Leadership ability. Everybody in that locker room having complete faith in him. You know, we went through that with Carson here and the question marks that were there. Well, the same thing there is out there in Arizona. They could try to clean it up as best they can or what have you, but they fumbled this, or they deliberately did this and put Kyler out there and then backpedaled and tried to make it seem as if, no, you guys are taking this out of context or misinterpreting what we meant by this being in the No. You did this on purpose. It's obviously validated why you did it, because you feel Kyler needs to improve in those areas, and you didn't decide to change it until Kyler decided to call a press conference and defend himself.
And then at the press conference, he gets up there and he says, basically, like, well, I was 42-0 in high school. I was the number 9 pick in baseball. Like, Kyler, we all, like, obviously you've worked to get where you are. Yeah. Nobody's disputing that. What's clear is the team feels you need to work harder.
Yeah.
That's what's clear. And that's what the contract showed. So, look, props to him. He got the signing bonus. He got the check. But this feels like a recipe for disaster in Arizona.
It does feel like it's not going to work. Hey, today's show is live from Chickies and Pete's. Book your fantasy football draft parties right now. Details at chickiesandpetes.com. Back to the phone lines we go. Let's get PJ from Westchester up here. PJ, welcome to the Marks and Reese Show.
What's up, fellas? Happy Friday to you.
What up,
what's
PJ?
What's up, PJ? Happy Friday, brother.
All right, so one point and then a question, and if I do have time, I do want you guys to know that my nephew's out in Pittsburgh right now, and he just ran into Castellanos, and Castellanos made a comment about Hurts, but that's not why I called.
That's a stupid Hurts question.
The point I have, the first point I have is this. Whether you're a Hurts supporter, believer, hater, whatever it is, I think all of us, and Ike, I think you just said this, we can all agree, with the exception of if they make it to the NFC Championship, and even if they do, if he plays like crap, Howie's going after a quarterback. That's just what he does. So everybody just put your minds at ease. We're going to get another quarterback next year. We are. My question to you guys, though, is this. For you guys who actually saw what happened in camp the last couple of days, especially the offensive struggles, especially inaccurate throws, pressure on the quarterback, I'm genuinely just curious. How much of it has to do with the strength of the defense that we keep touting and we're so excited about versus potential weaknesses of Hurts in the offense?
Yeah, I mean, look, they're going against their defense. So, of course, when the defense plays well, I think the Eagles probably feel good about that. I personally didn't feel like the offensive struggles were because of the defense. I did not think – like, the coverage, I guess, was good on the receivers, but ultimately the throws were there to be made, and I just thought they were inaccurate throws. The interception – Avonte Maddox caught it, and props to him, but Hurts threw it right up to him. I didn't think it was a phenomenal read by Avonte where he jumped the ball. It pretty much went right to him, almost like a punt. So I didn't think today was that. No, I thought today was the offense struggling.
Okay, cool.
All right, PJ. So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, did you want me to tell you what Castellanos said to my
nephew? Sure, go ahead, yeah.
All right, well, apparently they walk right by each other, and my nephew's buddy is wearing an Eagles hat, and Castellanos looks over at him, and he says, we got to get a new quarterback. Hurts
oh
sucks.
God.
And then my immediate response was, you would know because you're the captain of the Sucks Club.
Wow. Sounds like a fun exchange for Nick.
I can't.
If real.
Sounds believable.
I can't put that out there on Castellanos, man.
No,
I know. Probably didn't happen, but now is that Peter in Maple Shade?
Yeah, was that Peter and Maple Shade?
Yep.
And we got into the fight with Nick Sirianni.
Oh, yeah, that's
remember that
right.
Guy?
Yeah.
Remember that guy?
Has anyone brought up if Sirianni's been working on his tennis skills?
I was going to ask him, yeah, you know, working on any tennis. You know what's funny? How when you get people to call in all week and they will say, basically, Gannon should be fired, the defense is terrible, don't worry about it, and then Hurt struggles, and it's like, well, guys, keep in mind, they do have a pretty good defense.
Oh, you're back to that again.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, I guess we're all agreeing they have a good defense today. That seems to be the reaction to this.
All right, let's get Tom up here. Middletown. Tom, welcome to the Marks and Reese Show.
Hey, E, Jack, how are you guys?
What up, man?
What's up, Tom?
Listen, I don't want to sound like an old video, but we're talking about practice.
Yeah.
Okay, what the Eagles say, practice. Now, to me, the old saying is practice makes perfect. So when you're out there practicing, you're trying new things. You're trying different mechanics, different body angles, different, you know, large angles, different things, because that's what practice is about. So I really don't put a whole lot of credence if my guys don't look all that great at practice.
Yeah, look,
When it's the quarterback, though.
Right. And then there's part of that, you're right, that in practice they try things maybe they wouldn't in a game, yes, but ultimately he still did not have a good day of practice. And it wasn't like he was, you know, throwing left-handed or right-handed. Like, he wasn't alternating hands. He was still out there trying to complete the passes.
Yeah, no, and I get you, but I'm not going to get all worried and stressed about it. Because,
well, I don't think you have to get worried and stressed about it, but I think it's noteworthy that he struggled. I mean, they practice out there and they let people watch for a reason. You know, like, what happens does matter. You're right. You can place it on how much emphasis you want to put into it, but he did not have a good day.
All right, but they have new personnel, new routes, new play system. I don't know, but
I don't know about that, man. The whole thing all offseason was he's got the same offense. He's going to feel better in that. They have one new receiver. They have AJ's the only new receiver. Outside of that, it's Devontae, it's Quez, it's the same offensive line. Like, there is a lot of continuity there for him.
Okay, and as far as Jack goes with the not liking he likes the millennials, but not the
baby boomers,
right?
Yeah, baby boomer. Yeah. I'm a baby boomer father of seven millennials, and I bang my head against the wall every day trying to figure you millennials out.
Ooh,
listen, we're tough people to figure out, but I think we're decent. You know, we're just a little different
because we're multi-layered.
Right.
Multi-layered.
Multi-layered.
We're like onions.
Exactly. You gotta peel it back.
Yeah, you make everybody cry.
Oh, there it is.
There, wow, that's a good zinger. I gotta be. I'm impressed with that. I gotta be honest.
Didn't know Gen Z had that in him.
Gen Z. I don't even know which one I'm in. I'm in Gen
Z. No, he's Gen X.
Gen X. Okay.
No, Gen Z is the one below millennials, and they are the worst. By the way, they are worse. They are awful.
They're worse than the baby boomers.
Oh, I actually loathe Gen Z more than the baby boomers.
What age is that?
I think that's like the maybe like 16 to 22-ish.
Oh, wow. Those are the youngins.
Because now they're all wearing 90s stuff. It's so funny how like 90s stuff is like throwback now.
Yeah.
It technically was 30-some years ago, which is wild to think about. I guess we're getting old.
It is wild to think about.
They're walking, because I live at, you know, I live in Westchester, so I see the college kids walking around. And they're like wearing like Nirvana shirts. And like, it. I feel like it's a throwback to the 90s.
It also feels like the baggy, grungy look is back, too.
It is.
Like, when I was growing up, having clean white sneakers was key. Like, my Air Force Ones always were clean. Now yes. I look around and people...
It is still key.
It is. I agree, but I'm saying the kids...
Yeah, don't take cues from them.
Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah, I can't use that excuse for
Ike's,
that.
Ike's Eagles gear is just... It's close to being right in line with the with where the Gen Zers are. A few more years.
Oh, my goodness, man. Oh, man, I'm totally out of date, and I'm never, well, I should say I'm always clueless as to what's going on and what's happening.
No, I mean, you have some, you get nice.
Well,
shoes.
I keep the sneakers game.
You keep the sneaker game tight.
I feel like Ike is transitioning into, like, OG status, you know what I mean?
I can see that a little bit.
He's trying to age me, that's what he's doing.
Well, you also showed up to the wedding with the bow tie, you know, looking nice.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. Transitioning into more, I'm starting to see a little bit of gray in the beard. It's
oh wow, you noticing it?
Little bit on the sides.
Oh man, that's not good.
He's got in the one spot too, like Malcolm had. Malcolm had the one spot in his.
Yes, and I refuse to go to dyeing it, so it's just gonna roll how it is.
You're gonna come in one day just jet black. All
yeah,
over.
No, yeah. No, no. It's just I pluck it though.
Okay.
Oh, pause. Listen. Let's get the break here, man. We got Jack's time of the day coming up next. His top five at five, exactly. Yes, we'll see what the hell he does to burn the city down today, as it is the most listened to segment on the Marks and Reese Show. How about that? We'll find out next what Jack has in store for us here on 94 WIP. Now, this baseball season turned K's into cash and big hits into big wins with FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Now, I really like the FanDuel app. Right now, new customers can step up to the plate with a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Just sign up using promo code Ike, place your first bet, and FanDuel will give you up to $1,000 back in free bets if you don't win. There's no better place to bet America's pastime than on America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up using promo code Ike to get started with your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.